Welcome to Where Wine Takes You. We're a wine podcast that showcases the great stories, the great people, and the great place that is Paso Robles wine country. Truly, I believe the best wine country by far in California, with our ability to express what we want, that maverick mentality. We're growing more varietals to world-class levels than any other place around, and we're doing it without the stuffiness that's associated with a lot of other places. So I just can't thank you enough for being here, for sharing Where Wine Takes You. I am your host, Adam Montiel. All right, we're gearing up for a lot of stuff coming up. One, Paso Wine Fest. This is just around the corner. You can go, first of all, you got to go to your app store. If you don't have the Paso Wine app in your phone, come on now, it's completely free. There's no in-app purchases. Just get your hands on it. It's at your fingertips right now. There is a link in the show notes. But also, the Paso Wine Fest app. If you are coming to Paso Wine Fest, this will be a must. It will dial in exactly where you are, what to do, what is what. We're going to be out there doing a show. I'm super excited. And one of the things I am very excited about, yes, Saturday's Grand Tasting on May 18th is going to be just absolutely nuts, fun, elevated. Every year it gets better and better. But Friday we are doing something called Masters of Fire. Now, this is going to be something. We have celebrity chef. I mean, the guy is his own brand. He's not even just like a part of the Food Network, because he is so much more than just what he does on the Food Network. He is a restaurateur. He is an absolute legend. Tyler Florence coming out here to shoot a pilot. Yeah, for the Food Network. It's going to be called Masters of Fire. That's what this event is called. It is a live fire cooking competition. We got five local chefs, and we're going to tell you who they are coming up in this show. And we got some swingers. I mean, we got some ones who are going to be swinging for the fences. Tyler and his team are going to be grilling it up, doing some wild stuff. And then you're going to have your chance to have your voice heard, voting for the Master of Fire. The winner going to go to New York City, big ass cash prize, and they'll compete in the finals for the Masters of Fire champion. Pretty cool, huh? We're going to talk to Chef Tyler Florence on the podcast today. Kind of a little special nugget episode. I'm excited about this. And guess what this episode is? This is episode 99. This podcast started about 4 years ago, making our way towards 250,000 downloads. All these downloads later, over 100 countries, all 50 states. We are sharing Where Wine Takes You and sharing the love and the dynamics and the energy of Paso Robles Wine Country to the world. So what are we doing for our 100th episode? I will tell you at the end of the show. I'm excited. I'll give you a hint. We're going to go OG because that's the way Paso does it best. I'll tell you at the end of the show who you will be able to hear for our 100th episode. Coming up after our conversation with Chef Tyler Florence, we'll talk our Travel Paso Spotlight, get you all the info you need to make your trip up here for Paso Wine Fest. All right, super stoked to meet Tyler Florence, linking up with him on a virtual situation. We come into the conversation, we're talking about how, I think I was talking to him about how he's really one of these kind of famous people where when you Google him, it's not like, you know, you Google something, Google will like autofill what's coming up. You Google like Ben Affleck, it's like Ben Affleck net worth, Ben Affleck exposed or apology. You know, when you Google Tyler Florence, it's none of that mumbo jumbo. It's like Tyler Florence banana bread, Tyler Florence chicken marsala. He's just a real, seems like a real kind of guy you just want to have a beer with, chill with, real affable guy. So looking forward to connecting with him here. We're coming into the conversation talking about this.
So give me that moonshine, we'll be fine. We pass on round till the job is done. Can't die in the trees, we'll simplify good company.
Best, bro. The best. I don't know exactly how your algorithms are set, but you could certainly just type in Tyler Florence recipes.
Yeah.
That might be kind of funny. Well, like with your computer right now, type in Tyler Florence recipes and see what pops up first.
Okay, cool. Here we go.
Let's do this.
Tyler.
And everybody who's listening to this, type that in because it might be kind of funny to see what pops up.
All right. Ready?
Yeah.
First thing, Tyler Florence recipe for chicken marsala.
That's a good one. That's a classic, OG classic.
Prime rib.
That's a master recipe. That one I get so, I did that probably 20 years ago on television, and I still get so much traction from that with people every day at the restaurant. They go like, "Oh my god, I make your prime rib at the holidays," and You know what's really interesting about that one is the seasoning mix on the outside. Salt, pepper, garlic, and then prepared horseradish, which is really interesting. Yeah, because like horseradish and beef and, you know, the sort of classic sort of like creme fraiche horseradish sauce.
Steakhouse
style. Yeah, that goes really, really well with prime rib.
Yeah, like steakhouse style.
I put that flavor profile on the outside of the beef. And what's really nice about that, because prepared horseradish, it has the vinegar, which is fresh. It has a little bit of sugar to balance it out so it's not so astringent. And then so you kind of get this big, huge, fresh flavor pop that tastes so good on the outside of the beef. It's like adding MSG or something on the outside of it. It's just so incredibly delicious. So it's like that one little thing that makes it elevated. And I think that's a really good moniker for most of my recipes. They're simple, but there's always one or two things that go, okay, wow, this is really smart.
And you're like 25 years into this game now. And I think of chefs, like, you know, for a while it was always like the emeralds. Let me go back in the day, right? There's so many with Julia Child, right? But, you know, the Yu's, the Rachel Ray's, I mean, these people who, like, I kind of try and do with wine, make it approachable. Mm-hmm. I mean, wine to me for so long has been such an intimidating beast, and you're never going to learn all you can about it. I think same thing with the culinary arts, just to be approachable, relatable, and just have fun with it.
Absolutely. Because if you try to kick the ball over everybody's head, right, because there's two sides to our sort of culinary position. There's what we do in the restaurants, which honestly, I could write you a recipe for it, but it's going to be 5 pages long and take you 3 days, right? And no one's ever going to make that. So why should we ever talk about it? But you want to come in and experience that because, oh my God, is it amazing? That's what we do at the restaurants. But when you're trying to inspire people, and that's ultimately what we're trying to do, is conquer fears, get people in the kitchen to cook, you know, provide, you know, just a really great soulful outlet for yourself and for your family by just cooking. It's one of the most beautiful, selfless things you could ever do for yourself and somebody else. And then give you really good information that's going to work every single time. Our recipes are tested down to the grain of salt. It's my currency. It's the reason that we've been on the Food Network for 27 years, not 25, 27 years.
My bad. Wow.
No worries, man, because it's crazy. And I just finished my 17th cookbook. So in this day and age with all the competitions and stuff, it's relatively easy, honestly, to become famous for 5 minutes. It's really hard to stay there. And so when you get that opportunity to, you know, have the national spotlight on you, how deep is your repertoire? How long can you talk about it, and how can you help people? And that's always kind of been our position. I could talk about food for days. I couldn't turn it off if I wanted to. That's who I am as a person, as a chef, and as a friend, as a buddy. All my chef friends, we just talk about food all day long, and I love it. So for us to get a chance to talk to people about recipes, if it's chicken marsala or the prime rib or chocolate chip cookies or whatever you're going to find if you Google recipes in my name, it is my heart and soul into all that stuff. Because it's going to be delicious, I promise you. And it's going to be really, really easy to do. And it's going to be your new go-to recipe that you're going to talk about forever.
You know, over 25 years doing this, I'm so curious. Take me to the time when reality TV started setting in and you started seeing it bleed into the culinary networks, Food Network, things like that. Do you, as a personality, go, holy shit, like this is going to be, amateurs are going to be taking over all of our jobs? Or was it like, oh, we can work with this? What was that pivot and kind of feeling the temperature in the room like at that moment?
Well, let me just start with that. Like a lot of the amateurs and stuff like that, like especially the people that feel like they're kind of, it's like eating an In-N-Out burger. You know what I mean? It's really delicious. It's really quick. And then it's gone. Right. So I think a lot of the culinary talent that kind of pop up in these reality shows, these competition shows, as good as they are, as fun as they are, they're highly metabolized. So you may recognize them and they may get, you know, a good boost in their Instagram, you know, followers or whatever it is. But as soon as that same show recasts that season next season, your last season's contestant who was eliminated in the fourth episode or whatever it is, right? So I think a lot of that stuff becomes sort of heavy churn for a lot of people, because especially with so many different competitions. The contestants become very buzzy. Like no one really stands out anymore. So you have to like think through, okay, how am I going to take that opportunity and leverage that into these other things that I'm working on? So like Food Network is not my wheel. It's a spoke in my wheel. It's a big spoke in my wheel. I would not be who I am today without them. I love them to death and I would work for them forever. But it's part of what I do. Like I'm a restaurateur. I'm a chef. I'm a cookbook author. I'm a broadcaster, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm all these other things. And then the Food Network stuff is just part of my world, right? So I think that's the first thing you got to think about. It can't be 100% because you're selling yourself short, and you're relying on this thing to be there for you that is so fickle, right? It's so, you know, if they get a new president of programming or whoever it is, and they've got a new direction, and you know, you could be out. You could be out tomorrow. And if you didn't take that opportunity to really build a good foundation, like a lot of our contestants on the Great Food Truck Race, like especially if they get to the top three, I coach the heck out of them. I'm like, okay, let's talk about what life is like once you walk off the show and how prepared you need to be to absorb the fame and ride it out so it doesn't feel like a puff where you were famous for 5 seconds, but you could really ride on this maybe for the rest of your career. And so I think there's a lot that comes with that. But to answer your question, I don't mean to go on a diatribe, but to answer your question.
No, I like it. Please, I love it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm sort of freestyling here. But to answer your question, when did that probably happen? I guess it was Top Chef. So I remember I can't remember the president of Food Network at the time. We're having a conversation and she felt that Bravo had fired across the top of the bowel of Food Network with programming that honestly was in a lot of ways a different atmosphere from a production level standpoint because it was just so good, from a quality standpoint because people just want to see the best and be around the best and hear from the best and that kind of stuff. And you know, they're 25 seasons deep and multiple Emmy winners and create stars out of their hosts and all that kind of stuff. And I think it was that really started the competition war. And then all of a sudden they started because Chopped is the quick fire challenge from the beginning of Top Chef. That whole platform is the first 8 minutes of Top Chef. So then there was like, what was it? It was like Orange County Choppers. That sort of like, okay, we're going to, that turned into, you know, Duff Goldman's Ace of Cakes. And then that turned into, you know, Buddy Velasquez and Cake Boss and all that kind of stuff. So it was probably in like the mid 2000s, 2007, 2008, where I think that really became a thing. And now it's really just like, even with programming on the Food Network, you can't come to them with an idea that's not a competition and expected to get traction on the network. Because it's just not, because it doesn't get traction with the audience. There's a category of shows that get pitched on Food Network called the mop bucket, right? And that's most often pitched, right? So you definitely don't want your idea to end up in the mop bucket. So it's got to be a very, very unique competition, and it's got to be a competition because unfortunately, because I get this stuff all the time, right? Where you know, folks at the restaurant and they'll walk up and go, I remember the good old days when, I'm sure people are listening to this right now and going, remember the good old days when we used to cook and you could learn something and pick up some tips. I love those days. And, you know, in my image right now is much more valuable to the network and primetime doing competition stuff than it was like on Saturday morning ITK in the kitchen. But if it wasn't successful, they wouldn't air it, right? If it wasn't like popular, it wouldn't be on the network. So it's just kind of an interesting time. So you just have to ride with it. And then if you really want to be in the lifestyle space, or if you want to have other stuff, go get a podcast, go do something else, go pick that up in another, you know, go shoot your own content and broadcast it on Instagram. Like, no one's telling you can't do it, but Food Network just has a different agenda.
It's so interesting. The business acumen, did this always come really easy to you? It seems like you excel at it.
Well, failing is life's like greatest teacher.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. So I have this healthy trust in the universe that everything is going to be okay because I don't believe in failure. Because you either win or you learn. So you either nail it or you learn something that's going to clarify your concept and your idea for next time. And I think with that sort of trust and faith in the universe and the confidence that comes with nailing a couple of big ones, I just feel like it's never a waste of time. Everything that we do just kind of comes along with learning a bunch. And that's being, you know, tech savvy, that's being, you know, contract literate, that's being financially literate, that's, you know, having a really great team around you, that's learning how to listen as much as you give advice. You know, don't try to be the smartest guy in the room. Try to hire people around you that support your creativity and let them, you know, support you in a way that kind of frees you up in a lot of ways. So I think, you know, we've won a bunch, you know, got a bunch of W's, got a couple of L's, and those couple of L's are enough to keep your spine straight and keep your clarity crystal clear on the mission. And the mission is just growth, right? So we just, again, we just want to cook better food tomorrow than we did today. We just want to help out more people tomorrow, you know, hop in the kitchen to make some great stuff, give some people some inspiration, give them a laugh or two with the podcast, and just have a good time. Cause it's like this super skill that I do just because I've done this my whole life. I'm a really good cook. Right. And so I can off the top of my head, make something out of your refrigerator that will blow you away that you may not have seen. And that's the connection I've got. So with a lot of folks out there in the world.
I love that those L's, they're lessons. They don't have to be losses. They can be lessons.
And boom. Oh my gosh. Is that beautiful? So well said. Oh my God. That's amazing. It's not a loss. It's a lesson. Boom. Boom.
We're going to talk more food in a second, but I want to talk about the Masters of Fire. This is so exciting because you are going to be debuting this Masters of Fire at the Paso Wine Fest. What excites you most about showcasing live fire cooking and for your fans?
So, all of this stemmed out of the, you know, what am I going to write for my 17th cookbook? As a matter of fact, I've got the cover right here. The books themselves are actually on the way. So this is the cover.
Beautiful.
Alice Waters wrote the foreword for me. She's such a good friend, right?
Wow.
And so nice big shot in my backyard with my cowboy cauldron. That's one of my 9 grills that I have. I have a whole arsenal of stuff, right?
Nice. I love that.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And so, writing your 17th cookbook and trying to say something that you haven't said 17, 16 times before is a little challenging, right? But you have to kind of really start to go deep into, okay, what am I excited about? Now, when it comes to like the restaurants and stuff like that, so we have a steakhouse, right? So Miller and Lux, right? We're at the Chase Center, home of the Golden State Warriors. And we're a beef house. We're a steakhouse. Our beef is insane. Like we go to such depths to have what I think arguably is the best steak I have every single year. When we dine out across the country, I always try those steaks to see where we are. And our stuff is just hands down better than anybody else's. It's the best steak you'll ever have, I promise you. Also, when I cook at home, when it's my turn just to cook dinner, I'm firing up the grill. Just outside my kitchen, I have, 7 or 8 grills that are locked and loaded and ready to roll anytime I want them. I have a stick smoker. I have 2 big green eggs. I have a wood-burning oven. I have this super fancy $8,000 Heston grill. I've got hibachi grills. I got all kinds of stuff. And that to me is where I really, really like to cook, over an open fire outside and I like it when my clothes kind of smell like a campfire a little bit, right? And that tastes great with some really delicious Paso wine. And so we wrote this book called American Grill, and it's 125 recipes for mastering live fire. And then we started talking about a book tour. Okay, so what are we going to do, right? And so Williams Sonoma is our title sponsor. So we're going to be rolling around the country together with this barbecue festival. But I said to myself, I don't want to just show up at Williams Sonoma and sign a bunch of books. I want to cook. Let's go cook, right? Let's make it this like ticket event where you can cook. So we've been working on this for a year now. So the first iterations was, okay, I'll be outside in the parking lot at Williams Sonoma, and then we'll bring some grills and stuff, and we'll just kind of fire it up. And then it just evolved into this kind of a big deal barbecue festival called Masters of Fire. So again, we pitched this to the Food Network. We're shooting a pilot at the Paso Wine Festival. So that's going to be kind of fun. So if you want to watch the energy of Food Network shooting content, if you want to be on television, come hang out. It's going to be wild. So we're going to do 8 of these this year. And so the first one's going to be a Paso. And so it's going to be a live fire competition with 5 local chefs my team, we're going to be cooking too, but I'm not in the competition because I'm also hosting the show, right? But my team will be throwing down. We're going to do some spectacular slow smoked Wagyu beef ribs, which are going to be really great. So good, man. So good. And so I grew up in South Carolina. And so, you know, barbecue sauce was in my baby bottle growing up. And this is honestly who I am and how I like to cook. And I freaking love barbecue. I love barbecue. Low, slow, melted meat over a live fire. I think it's my favorite thing on planet Earth. And I've been in some fancy, fancy restaurants. But you give me a plate of barbecue, and I think I'm at my happiest. So it was like this, then that, and then bada boom, bada bing, pow, pow. The Masters of Fire Festival was born. And we're super excited about this, especially partnered with Williams-Sonoma. And we're excited to have the very, very first one. And this will be an annual thing. We'll do this every year. So this will be a festival inside the festival. So I want everybody to come out. So you get the cool thing about it is we've priced in a copy of the book with the ticket.
I love that. And they get to meet you.
Yeah. So I'll be there. So we're going to sign a bunch of books. If you get a ticket, you get a book, right? And so we're signing a bunch of books and kind of hanging out with some folks. And then you, as the guests of the festival, also get to be a judge in the competition.
Heck yes. I like this.
So there's going to be, thank you. There's going to be three layers of judging, right? So there's going to be the people's choice vote. Then we're also going to have some predominant folks, TBD, because we're still closing some deals on those, right? We're going to have some guest judges that are going to come and be a part of it. So the chef testants have to make a spectacular dish for the audience. And then they have to make a showcase dish that's different for the judges. And that could be, honestly, anything they want it to be. It could be a whole roasted fish, a suckling pig, you know, lamb racks, whatever. It's got to be crazy. And it's got to be just like one beautiful, spectacular platter of food for the judges. Then the third one, which is going to be really fun, that the chefs have to vote for their favorite dish and they can't vote for themselves.
Ooh, that's good.
Which is going to be kind of wild, right? So the math between those three,
yes,
will end up with the winner of Masters of Fire Paso. And so there's going to be a $5,000 cash prize, which is going to be fun. Let's put a little coin in our pocket, right? And on top of that, we're going to have a good time, which I'm really, really excited about. So it's going to be this fun interactive thing because what Food Network is really excited about this opportunity because, you know, the success of the Great Food Truck Race is it's a real live thing that you can go be a part of. And it's what people get really excited about because you're coming to my town. Hell yeah, we're coming out. Let's go. Right. And so I think we're going to just reconnect with so many fun people on Food Network that it's not a studio show. It's a real competition that you can come to and enjoy some of the best barbecue, live fire cooking. So the cuisine itself is going to be somewhere between Texas and Argentina, right? So it's going to be kind of low and slow brisket meets, you know, asado style cooking of things, kind of and these crazy contraptions, which are going to be fun. And then we're just going to throw down and have a good time. So there's going to be a ton of like Paso vintners there pouring some of the best wine in California. And so it's Friday, May 17th, 5 to 9. It's the sunset thing, which is kind of fun. So I want you to come out and have a good time. It's the night. It's like the opening party of the festival.
Yeah. So I mean, Paso Wine Fest, it has only gotten bigger and more just like legit. I mean, we're getting people from all over. It's becoming a destination. We used to do it at that square park in Paso, and it was just, I'll be honest, it was a shit show for a long time. You know, back in the day,
I've done it.
They would drive their pickup, they'd stick up two barrels, a piece of wood, and people would just, they'd pour through 30 cases of wine. And over the years, this event is getting more refined and just as Paso really is, as a wine country.
Yeah.
And when they moved it over to the Paso Robles Event Center, where you guys are going to be May 17th, it just got the big footprint. It enables downtown to be opened up so people can come, enjoy downtown, get all your restaurants. You're not affecting parking or the park. And we have this beautiful place that we can just stretch our stuff out and just have a blast. And you're opening the weekend, Friday, May 17th, like you said, 5 to 9, Masters of Fire. Nothing like this has ever happened. It's going to be so rad.
Don't you want to show up for that? Don't you want to see who the Master of Fire is? I want to be the Master of Fire. I think people will play this in their backyard with their neighbor.
Right. No, sure. That's such a good point. There's something about all five senses being just stimulated when you cook with fire.
Yeah.
And especially when you're outside, you know, I mean, you're smelling it. You're smelling it from 60 yards away. Mm-hmm. You're just all about it. And then I imagine for your team and your crew, it's going to be a fun thing to shoot.
Yeah. So the production company that shoots a great food truck race, some of my best friends in television, you know, we've been shooting together for God, 15 years now. All those guys are coming out. So we're super excited. Same production company that shoots a great food truck race. So it's going to be, you know, just spectacular. Especially, it's really going to showcase Paso too, with like, you know, epic drone shots over the wineries, and a lot of our chefs. We're going to go to either their wineries where they cook or the restaurants, and we're going to get some great B-roll of them, you know, to really kind of showcase who they are. And I'm just excited about it. I mean, this is going to sit shoulder to shoulder with in success if it gets picked up, because we're shooting a pilot. So I just want to say it's probably going to work, but I don't want to jinx it. So we're shooting a pilot. But in success of the show, I think it's going to be wild, because everybody will get a chance to go. You can go. You know what I mean? This is a live fire competition on television you can be a part of, and your vote matters.
All right, so if it's cool with you,
yeah,
I got a list of all five, and I think I am cleared to mention these. Should we go over these five?
Yeah. Go ahead. Cause I got a list right here, but go ahead. So let's start. I want you to rain praise on these folks. Cause they're, you know, Paso is awash with super culinary talent.
You know what? You're so right. Especially when you look at this list. I mean, oh man. So first, Chef Justin Hall, renowned chef from the Hatch Rotisserie and Bar downtown Paso. These guys are known for their wood fire cuisine. It really captures the essence of Paso. Justin is innovative, super talented guy. To next guy, a good buddy of mine, Jeffrey Wiesinger, executive chef. Him and his wife own Jeffrey's Wine Country Barbecue. This guy's pulling out wins from all the different, you know, food contests that go down. He's going to be one to watch. I'm talking like the, oh my God, his paella. You have to try his paella when you're in town.
We're going to be down there for a week shooting the show. So,
Chef Justin Monson, this guy, executive chef, Oak and Vine in Templeton. They have like a stay and play up there. Had him on for the podcast. He used to be the chef at Club 33 at Disney. Mm-hmm. And then he's fantastic. And then Sari Music, she is from Justin. They just got their Michelin star. I think it was way overdue. As far as the restaurant, that is the finest. That's some fine dining for Slo County. That is, to me, again, they should have had it a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I know Sari is super talented. I feel I know her more on her pastry, and because she is just like a wizard as a pastry chef. I can't wait to see what she's going to do. And you got Spencer Johnston, who I know really well. He is just a tremendously talented chef. They do a lot of like Lebanese and Middle Eastern stuff up there. He can do just about anything. I've seen him cook outside a lot. Just the lineup you have, it is going to be fun. And when you come out here, you got to go. You got to come by and taste some of these different places and get yourself around town.
Yeah, man.
Man, you are going to have so much fun meeting these people and tasting the cuisine here.
So cool. It's so cool. Ballers, bangers. Yeah. This is going to be great. I mean, yeah, make no mistake. We searched high and low and found some super top tier talent, because this needs to be entertaining. And also, I just want to give people value for their money, right? And I appreciate everybody coming out and buying tickets. But I want you to walk out with all you can eat, right? Which is going to be great. And it's not just sort of like a little nibble kind of tasting experience, but like real food. So I want you to come out. No one's going to have to run by In-N-Out Burger on the way home, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to eat and you're going to drink and you're going to have a good time.
When you say that, because I've been at some of these like square plate multi-course places, and we're all looking at each other in the car like, are we hitting In-N-Out on the way back? You know what I mean? Because it happens. It's so true.
Yeah. That was really good. What's for dinner?
Yeah, right.
That was delicious and all. What are we eating for dinner?
For real, right? Like, what's for dinner? The journey from TV to Tango with Fire. I mean, from the controlled environment of a TV kitchen to the unpredictable nature of live fire grilling. What challenges are inherent there, and what keeps you motivated in these really vastly different settings?
We're going to find out, which I'm very excited about, because obviously you got to keep the coals hot, right? So obviously the fire dies out, you know, so I think it's time and temperature. Like really good melted meat is time and temperature, right? So like a really good barbecue smoker hovers between 225 and 250. And then if you're going to do brisket, that usually takes 12 hours. It'll hit a stall out temperature at about 6 hours, and it has to climb through, you know, 147 to 165, and then past that 265 to 205, which usually a brisket gets pulled off on. Like those, all those moments really, really matter. Then you got to let it rest. Then you got to take it out, brush it with tallow, which is just really good beef fat. wrap it in butcher paper, and then cool the rest of it for 4 or 5 hours. So there's plenty of opportunity for screw up. You know what I mean? Like all those things have to be nailed perfectly to make it happen. And it could easily fall apart. So I don't want, it's the masters of fire. So it's not like worst fire cooks in America. You know what I mean? Like these are all going to be pros only. Right. I want people to come out to really celebrate. So I don't think we're going to get a lot of screw ups, but I think we're going to, you know, it's like $5,000 for the winner. And there's a couple of different competitions that would verify that, you know? And so you could win the judges competition and then not win the people's choice, or you could win the people's choice and then not win the chef's competition, or you win the judges or you win the chef's choice. Right. And so there's a couple of different ways the deck can get shuffled, which I think could make it really interesting from a viewer standpoint, because you'd never really know who's going to win until you're right at the very end, which is going to be really fun. It's good gameplay. It's a good competition show.
When you get to come out, and you said you're going to be here for a week, what are some things ways you like to really dive in, get a feel of the local culture, the cuisine? How do you dive in?
Well, I'm going to try to touch every winery that we're going to be serving alongside, just so I can go there and taste it and try it, right? So I think that'll be, I want to know it inside and out. And then we're going to go try to hit all of our chef contestants and hit their restaurants and just familiarize myself with everything and meet them personally. So we're friends when we walk in the door. And I look forward to it. I think it's going to be great. So we've got 8 of these coming up this summer, all over the country. And then the finale is going to be at the New York City Food and Wine Festival in October.
That's going to be rad.
Banging. Yeah.
Before getting into some food questions, and I know we have a little bit of time left with you, we have Chef Tyler Florence. This is incredible. Masters of Fire is happening May 17th, Paso Robles Event Center. It's all part of Paso Wine Fest. You can go to pasowine.com and be a part of what is going to be a pilot for a television show. I see this getting picked up on Food Network and being one of the biggest projects that you have ever been a part of.
I think it's a good one. I'm really excited about it.
I am too, man. I'm excited for you. We got Tyler Florence sharing Where Wine Takes You. It's taking him to Paso. He's coming up for Masters of Fire, presented by Williams Sonoma at Paso Wine Fest, Friday, May 17th. There are still some tickets available, but it is selling quick. You're going to eat. You're going to eat beautifully. You're going to be able to be part of this taping of a show. You're going to be able to let your voice be heard and judge one of these 5 chefs. See, who do you think the Master of Fire is? You're going to get a copy of Tyler's book, and you're going to meet Tyler Florence. Pretty cool. Now, take it into the kitchen, Tyler, back into the kitchen. It feels like whatever you're working with in the kitchen, it's like you get what you pay for. We got some nice stuff over the holidays, and it's almost like, you know, I'm Metro. I got my hair, it feels like hair product. It's one of those things you get what you pay for.
Yeah, I'm
like, you got good hair. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, bro. It's respect for the hair stuff, but I'm pounding you right now, man. Boom. There you go. Like, game recognizing game. But, you know, I work with Heston. Heston's a really lovely company. Kind of high-end, kind of expensive. But again, in that same vein, if you get what you pay for, it's the best cookware on planet Earth, hands down.
Yeah.
But it's not everything, right? I mean, you could definitely kind of get some stuff that won't last you forever, because less expensive stuff means you're going to replace it eventually. But if that's where you are, if you just want to buy something that kind of gets you into the game, don't let the price throw you off.
You're familiar with the game F, Marry, Kill, right?
Yeah.
Let's play F, Marry, Kill with 3 cuts of meat. The New York.
Okay.
New York.
Okay.
Filet and ribeye.
Okay. I'm gonna F the ribeye.
Okay.
To death.
Yeah.
I'm gonna F that ribeye. All night long. Like Lionel Richie, all night long.
All night long.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All night long. I'm gonna marry the New York, and I'm gonna kill the filet.
It's so interesting. Is filet not the most overrated cut?
No, I love a filet, but the flavor of beef is blood, right? And so like there's a muscliness to the New York just because it's a more active, like the gnarlier the cut, the better it tastes, to be honest with you, right? So like all those sort of, you know, those like premium cuts along the spine, like some of those things, just it's not a muscle that gets used very often. So it doesn't really have a lot of flavor. I do love a good filet mignon with a green peppercorn bourlaise wrapped in bacon, medium rare plus, I think it's just awesome, but it doesn't have the fat content that a New York has. Like New York is like, I think my second favorite cut, because I think there's a beefiness to it that I think tastes delicious. And then my favorite cut is a ribeye.
Yeah.
Favorite cut.
Me too. Favorite cut. I would have played that game the exact same way you did. Let me ask you, you talked about the flavor being the blood. Isn't it like the fat, the marbling is what? The way the two marry each other or what?
Well, what you're tasting, so fat is flavor, right? But also the protein has flavor itself too. We can jump in the nerd out on dry aging for another hour if you want to, but there's the protein is the vehicle for the steak itself, and that's what you're eating. But the fat is the unctuousness, is the self-basting sauce that kind of goes that enrobes each bite to make it unctuous, to make it really delicious. If not, it would be dry. Yeah. Especially with dry aging, which is a miraculous scientific thing, that it loses about 25% of the moisture or the water weight from the beginning of the process to the end of the process, which creates a tighter density between the protein and the fat. It's because if you taste a grocery store steak, and no disrespect to grocery store steaks, but there's no dry aging on them whatsoever. And when you taste it, it's going to be flabby and watery. But in the dry aging process, you eliminate that. So it's more beefiness and fat, a tighter connection. You get the water out of the way, right? Then the microbes inside the muscle itself begin to tenderize the beef, so it's softer. And then the bloom on the outside, which is the same sort of molding process of cheese, right? So the same camembert and brie, right? These like kind of white mold, you know, or charcuterie, right? Same sort of process kind of happens on the outside of the beef. So it really kind of punches up the flavor on the outside and really kind of it just wraps it with self-basting umami, wild yeast umami, which is just amazing.
Tyler Florence, was this fun, my man?
Always, man. Always. I love live content. I love podcasts. Our podcast, Two Dudes in a Kitchen, is, you know, everywhere you get podcasts. And we have two episodes a week that drops on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Wow.
Yep.
Twice a week. There you go.
Well, we tape two on Tuesday, and then they're about 2 weeks out, 2 weeks ahead of time. So we'll take two episodes on Tuesday, and they drop Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah. All right, cool. Again, available wherever you get your podcasts. American Grill is the new book. You're going to get a chance to get that book when you check out Tyler Florence live in Paso. There it is, baby. Beautiful. American Grill, Masters of Fire.
Yep.
Is coming to the Paso Wine Fest. You're going to be shooting the pilot with the Food Network, and you have a chance to not only check out what a TV show is like being filmed, be a part of it, but also your voice is going to count as we take these five chefs, Chef Justin Hall from The Hatch, Jeffrey Wiesinger, Jeffrey from Jeffrey's Wine Country Barbecue, Justin Monson of Oak and Vine,
yep,
Siri Music from Justin, and Chef Spencer Johnston, executive chef at Dow.
Yep, yep. And we're taking the winner to New York. We're taking the winner to New York in October, right? So the winner will be going against other champions in other cities for a chance of $25,000. So it's going to be big. And the title of Masters of Fire 2024.
Dang.
What? Let's effing go. Let's go.
Let's go. Oh, man. I love conversations that feel like I'm talking to a friend. Just literally met you today. And I just thought the rapport was really honest. You're authentic. You're genuine. And you're everything that when someone is a fan of someone hopes they're going to be when you get the blessing to meet them. So I really appreciate your time.
Well, Adam, absolute pleasure. And Paso, I'm so excited to be back down there. It's really just some of the most beautiful, wild country of California. I can't wait to come back down. And I can't wait to launch this with you guys. So it's a big shout out to the Paso Wine Fest for taking a chance on this first run festival. Big shout out to my entire team, because I think we're good at communications of telling the story of how great this is going to be, and then also the execution, because we're going to nail it.
Yeah.
And we can't wait to just like throw a party with you guys. That's the big thing. Let's go.
Thanks, man, for the time. I really appreciate it. Thanks for being up and at 'em and also sharing where wine takes you.
Bro, I'd love to have you up, man. And we're going to be slinging tomahawks. We're bringing our 45-day dry-aged tomahawks.
Yes.
Yes, we are. And we're going to be slow smoking Wagyu beef ribs. And I think the ones we're bringing are from Australia.
Mm.
Killer.
Ooh, sounds so good. Yeah, no, I would love to come up there. meet you, hang out, eat some food. Are you going to be there Saturday for Winefest?
Yeah, yeah. Can we do a separate pod? Are you be broadcasting from the thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to give you offline. I'm going to give you my cell phone number so you can text me.
All right.
Okay? I'll give it to you, and then let's do, because I want you to come on Friday.
Yeah, you know what? I got an event to host for the Big Brothers Big Sisters, so I could come up maybe later on. But from that time, that 5 to 7, yeah, I'm going to be hosting an event.
Well, listen, we love Big Brothers Big Sisters, so you're doing good work. But I'll save you a plate. I'll fix your plate when you get there, right? But I want to shake your hand when you have barbecue sauce all over your face, and I want to talk about that.
Oh, we are going to, my man. It's going to be fun to meet you. It's going to be fun to have you on the show again at Paso Wine Fest. Now, remember the grand tasting, May 18th, what Tyler Florence is doing at the same spot, Paso Robles Event Center, May 17th for Masters of Fire, presented by William Sonoma, part of Paso Robles Wine Fest. You don't want to miss this. It is going to be so much fun. 5 local chefs. We told you, Chef Justin Monson from Oak and Vine, Chef Justin from The Hatch, Chefy Jeffrey from Jeffrey's Wine Country Barbecue, Chef Siri from Justin Winery, and Chef Spencer of Dow. These folks are going to throw it down. It's going to be wild. You got to check it out. May 17th. Go to PasoWine.com. And get your tickets for Masters of Fire. Looking forward to seeing you there, my man. Thank you so much for sharing where wine takes you, Tyler.
All right, man. Take care.
So give me that moonshine, we'll get by. We pass on out till the job is done. Can't die in the trees. We'll simplify good company.
All right, there you go. Chef Tyler Florence, huh? Pretty cool dude, right? Looking forward to having him on the show when we do a Where Wine Takes You podcast from Paso Wine Fest. It is going to be rad. For your tickets, any and all things Paso Wine Fest related, including Masters of Fire presented by William Sonoma, you can go to PasoWine.com. Also, we got those links in the show notes. Our Travel Paso Spotlight makes so much sense to just let you know what a resource TravelPaso.com truly is. Especially when you're considering coming up here for like Winefest weekend. I mean, the weekend after that, Memorial Day weekend, we're going to be doing a Cork and Jug. It's called the Cork and Jug Fest. We got like big country acts, Midland, Tanya Tucker, a ton more. And a lot of people are coming into town for that. So there's so much going on in Paso. Travel Paso is really a hub and a necessary, scratch that, mandatory resource for you to check in with when you are making your trip to Paso. First of all, you go to TravelPaso.com. It lays it all out. You might be wondering, well, who do I call if I'm getting married up here? They got you. Maybe you're into corporate meetings or media. Who knows? Places to stay, events, things to do, wine country, pet friendly. TravelPaso.com can totally help you plan your next trip. So go to TravelPaso.com. Check it out. Just scroll through. Even if you're not on your way up here or making a plan right now, get the lowdown. The calendar, maybe see when you want to get up here, and you'll be dialed in on all the great resources that this website can offer you. TravelPaso.com. And we very much thank our friends at Travel Paso for celebrating where wine takes you. All right, like I said, next episode, episode number 100. It is very special to us. I can't wait to bring on 2 people who have had such for decades and decades and decades. And there are more people you could have. It's not just these 2, but these are 2 of the OGs. And together, I mean, this never happens. The last time I had these 2 guys in a room with a microphone might have been 12, 13 years ago. I'm talking about the Godfather, Gary Eberle, and the one and only Tobin James. These guys have such history with each other, apart, but Paso literally runs through their blood. The stories, the jokes, the memories, the peaks, the valleys, we're going to go through it all when we're joined by Tobin James and Gary Eberle for episode 100 of Where Wine Takes You. It's our next episode. Can't wait for that. Where Wine Takes You is executive produced by Joel Peterson and Paso Wine. Associate producer is Krista Smith. The podcast is recorded, edited, and produced by yours truly. Technical consideration provided by our friends at Fly With Wine. original music on the show is called Good Company. It's performed by Moonshiner Collective. You could stream their music wherever you choose to get music and learn more at moonshinercollective.com. For more info on me, you can reach out. Also learn where you can hear my other podcasts, Up and Adam, and more. Go to adammonteel.com. That's M-O-N-T-I-E-L, adammonteel.com. And I appreciate all the great words and questions and ideas that you submit on that Connect tab at adammonteel.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at adamontheair. Speaking of Instagram, make sure you are following Paso Wine Simple at Paso Wine and PasoWine.com. Your stop for any and all things Paso Wine, but especially for Wine Fest. Your tickets, who's doing what. It is a great resource to see what your favorite winery is doing for Wine Fest weekend and to get your tickets for Masters of Fire presented by Williams Sonoma before they sell out. Thank you for connecting with us once again. I'm your host, Adam Montiel. Until then, episode 100, right around the corner. Thank you so much for your dedication, for your support, for your ear, for your passion for Paso Robles Wine Country, and for sharing, loving, and enjoying where wine takes you.
So give me that moonshine, we'll keep on. We pass all round to the job. We'll jump, camped out in the cheese. We'll simplify, look company. Give me that moonshine, we'll keep on. We pass all round to the job. We'll jump, camped out in the cheese. We'll simplify, look company. Give me that moonshine, we'll keep on. We pass all round to the job. We'll jump, camped out in the cheese. We'll simplify, good company. Give me that moonshine, we'll keep on. We pass all round to the job is dry. Camped out in the cheesy world, simplifying good company.